Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and today our special guest is Peter Aldana. Peter was elected as the Assessor County Clerk Recorder for Riverside County in June of 2014. He has been with the Assessor's Office for over 25 years in a variety of appraisal, supervisory, and management positions. Peter is a lifelong resident of Riverside County. He earned his BA from Cal State University Fullerton, his MA from Azusa Pacific University. He's a member of the California Assessors Association, the County's Records Association of California, International Association of Assessors Offices, and the Appraisal Institute. He's also a member of the Inland Empire Hispanic Leadership Council. Peter, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much.
It was my pleasure to actually walk into the recorder's office for the first time in, a long time, because everything's done so differently now. Mm-hmm. And I had a great experience, and I met somebody named Kiyomi at the Gateway, and I said, at the Gateway office, and I said, do you know Peter and Aldana? And she looked at me and said, of course. I said, well, I promise you that I'm going to mention to him on air that you did one heck of a job.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I'll make sure she hears that as well.
She really did. You know, that was, she went over and above, and she actually caught a mistake that would have mattered, and how she read that finally, that quickly, was pretty impressive. So, but she was just really nice to deal with.
Yeah, we have a great staff. They're very professional, and I think they get it when we talk about customer service. I mean, that's that's a huge part of what we do in the Assessor Clerk Recorder's office. I think people don't always notice that a lot of what we are is about customer service. We see hundreds of thousands of customers a year, and our staff is really, really good, really effective, and I appreciate the work they do.
You bet, and I was actually really pleasantly surprised because that's, didn't expect that. let's talk about the assessments. 2016 is pretty much on par with 2008. And if we'd have been sitting in 2008 saying, I think we'll probably break even 8 years from now, that would have been a pretty unusual statement.
Right.
So how often has that ever happened where there's been a down and then an up cycle to where you break even over an eight-year period? That's got to be really unusual.
Well, I think the first recession I was a participant in really was back in the early 90s, right?
Right.
I just started with the office back in about 89. And I recall when I first came in, there was new construction going on everywhere. Properties were changing ownership. Values were increasing incredibly, and we thought we wouldn't see that again for a while. And then we had the a little mini recession there in the mid-90s, and again we thought, well, how are we ever going to get back to that value, that assessed valuation that we had in the early 90s? And we hit that again, I think, in 99, I want to say, that peak. I think our assessed valuation that time was somewhere around $100 billion, and by 2005, we were up to almost $243 billion worth of value.
Yeah, that's an incredible change in valuation and revenue, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you know better than most the kind of the boom and bust cycle of real estate in California. But even that is incredible. Really, for us in the Inland Empire and for Riverside County in particular, the new construction, I think, is the area that increased our assessed valuation, which in effect increases the taxable revenue to the county more than anything else. We can have changes of ownership that occur, but when that happens, maybe a value goes from 100,000 to 150,000 or something. But when you have new construction, you're taking something from virtually nothing, vacant land, and then seeing it sell for a couple hundred thousand within a year, and then another change of ownership might come a couple years down the road for another 50,000. So that's when you see really extraordinary increases in assessed valuations when there's a lot of new construction. We really haven't seen that in the last couple of years, so we're seeing that steady increase of property valuation increase in the appreciation of real estate, but not so much on the new construction side.
Has there been any bright spots in new construction, let's say industrial?
Yeah. Clearly industrial, that's some peak valuation. There's no vacancy really in industrial properties in Riverside County. So we have seen some really impressive prices in the industrial market. But still, I mean, that's a relatively small segment. It's a big part of the commercial industrial segment. But in terms of valuation for the entire county, it's still a relatively small segment of our valuation. Where we see most increases in valuation is when you have a lot of residential construction.
Which hasn't really been kicking in the last few years. I mean, since we've had the downturn, Riverside Construction is still, maybe apartments were built in fair amount of number, but not single family so far.
Right. And I want to say that our commercial industrial segment of our evaluation is about 20% of the overall assessed valuation. So you could see, even if you have a large increase in value on the commercial side, it's not going to affect the assessment roll as much as you would see in the residential side.
I see.
So we have had some apartments built and some warehouses built, of course, and obviously there's a talk of a huge project going on in Reno Valley.
Right.
Maybe in the next few years. But the corridor, the 215 corridor, lots of industrial space being built and being occupied now. So, you know, that certainly has helped the overall assessed valuation. But, again, residential not quite keeping up, although we have seen some big increases, though, cumulatively, if you look at it over the last 5 years.
If a tax assessor office had its preference, what would be the next project? Would it be commercial or would it be residential construction just because of the tax revenue of that particular project, not the overall? You have said residential is the dominant, but as far as tax revenue driving, are you better off if somebody builds a commercial project or a residential?
Well, I better first say that as an assessor, we don't concern ourselves with revenue. So if the value is going up, we reflect that. If the value of real estate is going down, we reflect that as well. And we react just as quickly on either side. We really, really try hard to make sure our appraisal staff doesn't think about generating revenue. All we do is appraise property. That being said, of course, the benefit to the county is when there's appreciation of real estate, and I think that it's beneficial to the county's revenue as well as it is for, you know, individual property owners. I mean, we all know the benefits of appreciating real estate market and the things equity can do for you. For us, it's a bit easier for us to do residential properties. So when we see new homes coming up and there's maybe a tract of 100 homes or something, then we can see some similarities in properties, and we're really good at doing mass appraisal on residential properties. On commercial properties, it's very much an individual kind of one-off valuation, and that takes a lot of time and a lot of resources. So I don't know if we have a preference to one or the other, but I can tell you that commercial, industrial appraisal side of things is a little more difficult for us than the residential side.
The real bump in existing real estate as far as assessments comes when the home is swapped, right?
Mm-hmm.
What percentage of the inventory is generally transferred in a year? No way to prepare for that answer if you don't know it. That's perfectly fine. But.
Sure. No. We get about 500,000 or 600,000 in this market right now. There's 500,000 or 600,000 documents we record per year. They're not all changes of ownership, or they're not all accessible changes of ownership. So my recorder side of the office takes that information on land records that are recorded and sends them over to our title department, who makes the determination on, is this a reassessable change of ownership? And of those, we get about somewhere between 75 and 100,000 per year over the last several years of changes of ownership. And of that, I'm going to guess somewhere around 80% of those are residential properties. Not all of them turn out to be large increases in value, because we have had so many properties that we've been reviewing every year since the recession began that we're on market value on a lot of properties already, right? So it's not a situation where somebody bought something in 1978,
right?
You know, Prop 13 kept on a low value and they turned it over, and now it's a big increase in value. More often what we're seeing is something that, you know, somebody bought in 2005 and sold again in 2011 or 12, and now someone's seeing some ability to make some profit in that. So they're changing ownership, but we've been pretty much keeping up on the market value. That's why I think we didn't see, you know, dramatic changes in value in the last year or two, even though we could see an appreciation in value over the last few years that's been significant. So maybe that's the difference, is that because since 2006 we've had hundreds of thousands of properties, what we call in a Prop 8 status, which means we decline them for market conditions, and we've been reviewing them every year and gradually bringing them back up to current market value. So when something sells right now, there's a pretty good chance that it's already close to its market value.
Is there any connection between doing a short sale or a loan mod and what you just said about Prop 8? Is there a connection between those two on the real estate?
Let me see if I can make a connection there. A loan modification, we're not going to reassess that property. That's just a change in title or a change in it's the same owner.
Yeah, loan terms basically. Right. Is all it is.
So there's no real change of ownership as far as accessibility goes. Now, short sale, when something actually does change hands from one owner to another, we would reappraise that property at its current market value, which may or may not be the amount of the short sale, right? So we're going to look at prevailing market conditions and comparable sales, and we're going to say, particularly now when that short sale isn't the norm, but, you know, maybe back in 2008 or 2009, a foreclosure or a short sale, that was the typical sale, right? So how that sale price was represented oftentimes reflected the market value. Right now, if we saw something like that, we'd probably say, I'm not sold on that as being the market value. We have to find comparable sales that support that particular sale price as the current market value. If it doesn't, then we, by law, have to enroll current market value.
Okay. When was Prop 8 instigated?
I believe in the original Prop 13 it wasn't, but shortly thereafter, within a year or two, Prop 8 was in place. It said essentially you can temporarily adjust the property value if there's been some sort of market value change attributable to either the market or some sort of maybe a disaster of some sort. So you can reduce the property temporarily until it increases back up to its Prop 13 value. When we really saw Prop 8 taking a big hold on properties was that early 1990s, and I think we were doing maybe 100,000 properties a year, which we thought was a lot of properties to review.
It is.
But in this last downturn, at one point we had over 400,000 properties in Prop 8, and that's out of about close to a million assessments that we have.
Wow.
So a significant number of our properties were in that Prop 8 status. And in residential properties, we had a little over 300,000 at the peak, or maybe the trough. And then right now we're a little over 100,000 properties, residential properties that are in Prop 8. So we've made significant progress in getting back to kind of a normal market.
That would seem that it would add an enormous amount of man hours to your department, the need to deal with that.
Yeah, I think that was maybe the thought years ago, that maybe we wouldn't be able to get the work done. But one of the great things that my predecessor did, Larry Ward, was make sure we leveraged technology. I was the assistant assessor at the time, and we found some ways to really do mass appraisal using technology in a much better way. So even though our number of appraisals that we had to do and the workload increased significantly, we actually were able to downsize and continue to get what we call the tax roll completed each year timely. So that, that was a really big accomplishment for us. At one time we had about 240 in the assessor's office. I'm the assessor clerk recorder, so overall we had about 500 employees, and now we have less than 400, and yet we continue to get all the work done that's mandated by the state. But with significantly fewer people, and we didn't really lay anybody off. We we planned it out through attrition, and again, the leveraging of technology is the most important thing.
That's almost true industry wide for sure. In the real estate industry, that's been a big benefit and speed of accessing information of all kinds. Prop 13. Mm-hmm. That's been around since the late 70s. What are the rules there as far as how fast can the value of my home progress? Let's say I accomplished a purchase in 1990. what percentage of it, of the value, can go up tax-wise?
Prop 13 essentially says that once you're given a base year value, that means your property is valued as of the change of ownership or new construction, that becomes what we call a base year value, or also known as your Prop 13 value. And the property value can only increase by an inflationary factor that's tied to California, the California CPI. It can be no greater than 2% a year. In fact, in the last couple of years, we haven't even had a 2% increase in the inflationary factor here. It's been 1.5%, or in some cases less than 1%, but it can never go more than 2%. So if you bought your home in 1990, you probably saw 2% increases until something around 2006 or 7. But Prop 13 also says that if that 2% inflationary factor, at some point your assessed value is higher than the current market value as of January 1 of each year, then you're entitled to be assessed at the lower of those two values. So really, in a nutshell, my job is to make sure that property owners are assessed at the lower of those two values, whichever the lowest one, Prop 13 value, which is the original value increased for inflation, or current market value of January 1 of each year.
Okay.
And I think we've done a really good job of that. I mean, in the past, back in the 90s, I remember being very, we reacted, we were very reactionary, and we asked people to file something with us for us to review the property. The great thing I think we did in 2006 and 7 was create ways to mass appraise properties without, and act proactively without them asking us to do it. So we started to review large projects and large neighborhoods and say, okay, this is going to be your value each year. We're reviewing Prop 13 versus current market value, and whether you asked or not, we're going to give you what you think you're entitled to, which is lower of those two values. And that kept us ahead of the curve, making sure that we were able to do that so we didn't get bogged down with a lot of assessment appeals that take many, many, many more man hours than just an appraisal.
Yeah, that's so, that was a good policy.
Yeah.
And I was a benefactor of that policy. I actually talked to Larry. He asked me very specifically about, you know, because we were buying those properties that needed work and so forth, and he really asked me about what I thought about the fairness of the evaluation. So I thought that was an unusual question, but you've just explained why you guys did it, and that makes perfect sense. Are the same rules in existence for commercial and residential Prop 13?
Yeah, the same rules are in place. I think the way we execute the reviews, the process is a little bit different with commercial industrial properties, again, because they're so, it's an individual sort of approach, a one-off appraisal, and it takes so many more resources. We really rely on property owners on the commercial side, commercial industrial side, to make us aware when they think their property is overvalued. I mean, it's not, it's much more direct and simple for us to look at a tract and have four or five different models and have a lot of sales comparisons than to do a commercial or industrial property where we really have to look at income approach to value. And there's not going to be the kind of the cookie cutter sort of properties. But we hope, I mean, my hope is that as we continue to get better at mass appraisal and develop new systems, and that's going to be something that we do each year. We're not going to wait for the commercial property owner to have to contact us each time they feel the property's overvalued or if they have questions about it, that we're going to be able to do a much more proactive job of looking at segments of the marketplace and saying, well, this apartment, or it's a warehouse, or it's a gas station. We should be able to create models that allow us to appraise those properties in a little more proactive way. So for now, though, we do rely much more on the property owner to make us aware of it and at least ask us for an informal review, which we can do, and give them our opinion of value. And then if they still disagree with that, they can go through a formal appeal process.
Most of our clients are in the rehab business. What do we have to, well, let's see, what kind of improvement sets off a reassessment?
Great question. That's a bit more complicated. When there's a little bit of gray area there when we talk about rehabilitations or remodels. The way Prop 13 is written, it says only when there's new construction should we as the assessor reappraise the property or reassess it. But it goes on to talk about when there's a rehabilitation of a property from its current state to equivalent to new, essentially.
Okay.
Then there is an ability for the assessor to say, or a requirement for the assessor to say, okay, what's the difference in value between what it was and what it is now? But the question is, how, what makes something substantially or equivalent to new? And that, for us, we try to keep it as simple as we can, but it's not a real simple answer there. But when we see something is somebody buys something and just tears it down to nothing but the studs or something, and then they remodel the whole house and they add, you know, some new roof and new windows and new, you know, they just completely...
Yeah, electric and plumbing.
Right, electrical plumbing, all those things that make it equivalent to almost new, then we're going to say, well, we need to at least reevaluate those improvements. Now, with a typical remodel, somebody buys a home and they just, you know, maybe they replace the floors or they replace some windows, they do the typical maintenance sorts of repairs. That's not something that's reassessable.
Okay.
So when an investor or somebody makes those sorts of repairs or investments in a property, we would hope they'd keep at least those receipts or some kind of accountability of what they really did. So if we do have questions, we can ask and we can have a good discussion about it and say, well, that's really just a remodel, not really rehabilitation. And in that case, it would not be reassessable.
Okay. You guys have a couple of projects that you've been working on. Crest Project, let's talk about that.
Okay. What would you like to know about it?
Well, how does it help you guys do a better job? And how does it help the customer who shows up and gets maybe faster results or less waiting time, that type of thing?
Yeah. Well, the number one purpose for that Crest Project, which is really an integrated property tax system, it's a project that the assessor and the auditor controller and the tax collector, all three of the property tax departments are involved in it. We felt like we knew, number one, we needed to get off our old technology, which is mainframe technology from the 70s.
Right.
We're still using that.
Okay.
Which is a very inflexible sort of platform. When you want to make improvements to your business processes and things, you really have to essentially rewrite code and do a lot of things that take a lot of time. And you just don't have flexibility to do things that you necessarily want to do in a quick way. So the other part was that there's not a whole lot of mainframe programmers available anymore. Most of those folks are retiring. They're leaving the workforce. So just having that ability to even maintain the current system is becoming a struggle. So we needed to get off of that mainframe technology. So the thought was, under Larry and his other colleagues on the auditor and tax collector side, the thought was, do we just rebuild what we have, or do we actually kind of re-engineer and say, let's do something better than we have right now? So that was the desire, and that was the commitment. So we've been working on that, and we believe we're going to be going live next summer with the new system. And we do think it's going to give us much more capability to do things not only more quickly, but have the information more accessible to the public. But bottom line is efficiency, and we think we're going to get a lot of efficiencies through things like workflow, meaning instead of work, an employee having to pull the work out of the system, you'll have a way to, when you complete your work, it automatically goes to the next person to do the work that they need to do, and then it goes to the next department that needs to do the work. So we think we're going to gain a lot of efficiency just in that, in just the workflow. But we're also going to rebuild we'll have more eGov capabilities. So yeah, the idea behind eGov is that the things that you can do in the office, you can also do online, hopefully.
Okay.
Many of those capabilities. So whether it's filing for an exemption or requesting a review of your appraisal or paying your taxes online, those are the things that we're hoping that we're going to get to. So there are going to be many benefits. I think we're going to see both on, I'm sure on the county side, on our departmental side, we're going to see a lot of efficiencies gained. But I think also on the property owner side, the ability to access the information and have responses to them much more quickly, and the ability to see how much they owe and be able to pay online, those are things that they're really going to benefit from.
Peter, we've run out of time. Thank you very much for taking your time today to explain some of this to us, and I appreciate it. This has been Peter Aldana, and he is the assessor for the County Clerk Recorder of Riverside. Peter, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Bruce. It was my pleasure.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.